If you're a member, please take time to sign yourself in as you come in today, so that'll save time later on for the meeting that is directly after the service today. Sunday, December 15th will be a special day at LCUUC. There will be a musical worship service that morning, followed by a soup lunch, cookie and craft sale, and then a performance by a heartwarming holiday tale, Old Bifana, by Ken Longquist and friends. Tickets for Old Bifana can be purchased during social hour or at the door. We need to fill up the sanctuary for the performance. Volunteers are needed to bake cookies and help in a few other areas. Please look for sign-ups in the social hall. And then if you haven't noticed, I'm going to highlight in the order of service that next Sunday is Undies Sunday for the Hope Center. So please bring in new underwear, and you can donate them out front. There's a basket out there. Our order of service is a bit mysterious today because not everything got in the order it should, or some things got in that we won't be doing. So there'll be corrections as we go along. So we're just testing to make sure everybody's paying attention today.
Let us rest a while today from work and worry and care in this Sunday of autumn calm, and lift our hearts together with thoughts of thanks for all that we have. Let us sing with glorious nature a shared thanksgiving song. Come, let us worship here together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
light this chalice and we give thanks for all that we have to give and all that we have and all that we will receive in this coming year. Would you please stand in body or spirit as you are willing and able and join me in our first hymn, number 1010, We Give Thanks. We're going to sing it through three times, and Christy is going to play it through once before that. So three times through. Once with just the music. Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Paul Fackler, and I'm the worship representative for this morning's service. We are a welcoming congregation. We welcome you and what you bring to this community as we gather around this table. Whether you were raised on Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking or Claudia Rodin's The Book of Jewish Food, or simply fascinated by the fictional Betty Crocker, we welcome you. Whether you sought deeper meaning in Molly Katzen's Moosewood Cookbook, or solace in Sri Owen's Indonesian regional cooking, or have sought to save the planet with Francis Moore LaPay's Diet for a Small Planet, we welcome you. Whether you find free expression through Irma Rombauer's The Joy of Cooking, or Fernanda Capabianca's Vegan Divas Cookbook, or through your own culinary creations, or those passed down through the hands of family members, scrawled on recipe cards, and imprinted with butter, olive oil, and memories, we welcome you. From grits to jambalaya, to the modern art masterpieces made of green jello salad containing tiny marshmallows, to jalapeno cheese curds, and the utter enigma of turducken and everything on a waffle. No matter what foods you love, or the cuisines that define you, you are welcome here. We hope that all visitors, wherever they are on life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Whether you have brought food or just an appetite, please join us in the social hall after the service for a potluck Thanksgiving dinner. Come be a guest at our table, and while you're there, stop by our welcome table and find out more about LCUUC. take a closer look at today's order of service, which includes announcements of upcoming church activities. We look forward to all our visitors, friends, and members joining in. And please take a moment at this time to hush all your electronics. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us today.
One of the ways that we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items that we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them up and just place them over here on the steps somewhere, or ask a child to bring them up for you, and I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Well, good morning, everybody. We are celebrating Thanksgiving today, but one of the other things that we are celebrating and talking about is our Guest at Your Table program. And if you guys know what that is? This is a Guest at Your Table box. And I named this box Bob. This is Bob, the Guest at Your Table box. Looks pretty goofy, doesn't it? Well, when I first heard about Guest at Your Table, I really didn't get it. So they gave me Bob here, and I took him home. And I thought, now what do I do with this? So I put him together, set him down on the table, and he said, "Feed me!" What? He said, "Feed me." Okay. So I went to the closet, and I got a piece of bread. I thought, well, this is kind of weird. So I reached over, and I put it in, and Bob went, "Ah! Yuck! I don't want bread!" And I said, "Okay, what do you want?" He said, "I want money!" I said, "Well, Bob, tell me about this." And what he told me was this. We gather up food like this and we send it to our local food pantries. And that works pretty well. But what works even better is when we send money, because they can buy a lot more things than we can send them and do it a lot more cheaply. Guest at Your Table helps to buy food for people in other countries. Some in our own. Sometimes it supports programs that work with other people. But one of the things we can't do is send them food or supplies or materials because it costs so much to ship this stuff. And you can imagine what that gross piece of bread would be like by the time I sent it to Haiti. Can you imagine how yucky it would be? So what you do is you take your own version of Bob home, or you can make one. And you just put it on your table. Not that any of us would forget it if we didn't put it right on the table, right? You put it on the table, and every time you eat, you put a little bit of money in Bob. So maybe you just put in some coins from your pocket, or maybe you just bug your parents about dumping their change from today and putting that in. But the idea is that after a few weeks, and we'll be collecting these in December, you bring your version of Bob back with all the money, and we send it to help people in Haiti, in parts of the United States. And that's how we support programs that we really like, programs designed to help make sure people get housed and fed and clothed. So today, we'll have some of these out front by the door. Grab a box. Or go home and make your own box. Name it. Put it on your table. And remind your parents at every meal, feed Bob. Thank you guys for listening to my story today. And I'm going to have you all just go back to your seats. You're staying with us today. No singing the kids out. So thank you all. There was a billionaire who threw a massive party for Thanksgiving. And during the party, he grabbed the microphone and announced to his guests that down in the garden of his mansion, he had a swimming pool with two great white sharks in it. He offered anything he had, up to $1 million, to anyone who could swim across that pool. And the party went on a while with no one accepting his offer until suddenly there was a loud splash. And all of the guests ran to see what had happened. And in the pool, a man was frantically swimming as hard as he could. Fins came out of the water and jaws were snapping, and the guy just kept going. The sharks were gaining, but he managed to reach the end. And he leapt out of the pool, soaked and exhausted. The billionaire grabbed the mic and said, "I am a man of my word. Anything you want, up to $1 million, just name it." The guy grabbed the mic and he said, "Why don't we start with the name of the person that pushed me into that pool?" Given that I don't swim quite that well, the morning offering will now be given and received. our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand, and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
I'm Layla. Could you please light a candle of concern, please? My Aunt Kathy had surgery on Friday to remove a lump from her breast and two of her lymph nodes.
Hi, this is Carl.
I'm Ron. And I'd like a candle of joy to celebrate our 7th wedding anniversary, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, hi, this is Carl. I have a really big joy that a tragedy averted is my son Paul was rock climbing this past Friday at an indoor rock wall climbing, and the person belaying him couldn't control him, and he fell 35 feet. And he's virtually perfect. And he's got some pulled muscles, and he's limping around on a crutch. But really glad he didn't break a neck or anything.
My nephew, who's 17. Who has been struggling, he has both a heart transplant and a bone marrow transplant, and he's been, you know, struggling with these various diseases and problems since he was 5 years old. But we just found out Thursday that all the doctors at Children's Hospital now believe it's time to move toward palliative care, and he could die anytime, and we just pray for him and for my brother and his wife as well, and his other brother.
Good morning. I'm Alyssa, and my husband and I are celebrating our 9th wedding anniversary today, and we're obviously not together celebrating it, but nonetheless in spirit celebrating it.
I'm Will. I'd like to light a candle of joy for my sister and her girlfriend's recent engagement.
I'm Katie. I'd like to light a candle of concern for all those who don't have enough to eat on Thanksgiving and don't have people to share it with. So invite a friend or someone you don't know. Drop some food off at the food pantry.
I'm Dan, and I'd like to light a candle of joy that Aunt Lisa is driving in for Thanksgiving from Tennessee. And to everyone else who's traveling this holiday, safe travels.
And we light the last candle today for all those joys and sorrows that we hold deeply, but which have not been named.
Today's first reading is from Sogyal Rinpoche's In the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. When experiencing a sight that can open the eyes of your heart to the fact of suffering in the world, let it. Don't waste the love and grief it arouses. In the moment you feel compassion welling up in you, don't brush it aside. Don't shrug it off and try quickly to return to normal. Don't be afraid of your feeling or embarrassed by it, or allow yourself to be distracted from it, or let it run aground in apathy. Be vulnerable. Use that quick, bright uprush of compassion. Focus on it. Go deep into your heart and meditate on it. Develop it, enhance it, and deepen it. By doing this, you will realize how blind you have been to suffering, how the pain you are experiencing or seeing now is only a tiny fraction of the pain of the world. All beings everywhere suffer. Let your heart go out to them all. Here ends the first reading.
A prayer of thanksgiving. When I see you cold and naked, it is my own body I feel, perfect and vulnerable in its shivering fragility. I wipe the tears from your cheeks, and it's my own face which feels that touch. The shirt I give away warms me as you wear it on your back. I am. You are. I cannot say who gives and who receives. Sharing, we are both blessed. Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
The second reading today is from River of Awareness, Seeking the Wisdom of Love by Stephen Sims. This section is called The Law of Generosity. Acts of generosity, big or small, always generate miracles of life. Generosity begets generosity and creates a circular flow of compassion and gratitude. Sharing is the true language of interdependence, and life invites us to be generous both in giving and in receiving. When we live out of a spirit of sharing, we come to know the full meaning of loving kindness. Sharing is not to be thought of simply in material terms, for there is also the generosity of judgment, of patience, of forgiveness, of gentle presence. Before I left for India in 1973, a group of individuals from an inner-city slum of Montreal passed a hat and put $100 in my pocket. 4 months later, I hired a Bengali carpenter, purchased some bamboo, and constructed a small hut for dying lepers along a stretch of abandoned railway tracks in the Himalayan foothills. In 1995, some 22 years later, I revisited a new generation of lepers who had set up a squatter's village around the bamboo hut for the dying. The lepers were thrilled to show me their individual huts and eager to express their heartfelt gratitude. What was remarkable was to behold the tender care that they bestowed on one another. It was truly one of the most moving moments of my life to witness this vibrant community of love. A small seed, sown by the generosity of a few, had grown into a tall tree of joy. Here ends the second reading. Please stand in body or spirit and join in the singing of hymn number 67. We sing now together. We're being joined today by our LCUUC violinists, Leela, Abby, Bjorn, and Shelby. And they will play through the song once, and then we will all join them, starting with the first verse.
Religions of all types say some sort of prayer while dining, and many of them, or even most of them, boil down to this: For what I am about to receive, let me be truly thankful. But what is thankful, and what does it mean to be thankful? When I was a kid, my dad was an engineer working in the then very new field of robotics. So here he was all day in a suit, and then he came home at night to his small but working farm. He was usually up way before dawn and still up at close to midnight. And we had all the stuff people imagine when they see a farm in their minds or on a cartoon. All we were missing was the quaint cottage with an outhouse, and that wasn't for lack of trying on Dad's part. But working even a small farm isn't easy. And since Dad didn't have the benefit of any helpful farm elves, he went with the next best thing. Us kids became his very own farm gnomes. From the time I was 6 until I left home at 18, you could have told me that indentured servitude had ended in the U.S. I would have asked if you had met my father. We were locavores before it was cool, homesteaders before it was hip. We were organic in all that we did, primarily because I suspect that Dad thought we weren't quite bright enough to handle pesticides. Homesteading was a way of life. My parents' dedication to healthy and safe eating and to responsible and ethical animal husbandry was absolute. Even to this day, I'm not sure what my parents would have done if a growing season failed. But as a kid and a young adult, I was absolutely convinced that if we didn't raise enough, we would be reenacting some of the starvation bits from Little House on the Prairie. So when we sat down to Thanksgiving dinner, it was with a massive sigh of joy and relief. We had done it again. We had made it through until November. Our hands would be calloused from a summer and fall of hoeing and picking and digging and canning. I had a permanent callus here from using a shelling peg to knock popcorn kernels off cobs and into baskets. We gathered walnuts. We had memories of the previous December's butchering, standing in the freezing cold of the barn and thawing our ice-covered hands by dipping them in cauldrons of boiling water. We made walnut dye, smelled the apples as they were pressed into cider and cooked down into sauce and apple butter. We felt the burn of salt pickle used to coat a country ham. Almost everything on that table was our own. The only thing we didn't grow, actually, was cranberries. And that did lead to some yearly issues, because Dad thought that the only proper way to eat cranberry sauce was sliced in rounds directly out of the can. While Mom and I, of course, preferred the more refined and delicate technique of making a lovely cranberry mold. Dad won that fight once and for all the year that my 6-year-old sister got into the refrigerator and decided that the cranberry mold was perfect for the game she was playing at the time. Imagine our joy the next day when we unmolded it, only to see that she had inserted small plastic animal figures head down into the inverted mold as it was setting up. So the thing sort of looked like the blob after it had encased its victims. After that, we went for canned. But cranberry-covered giraffes aside, we gave thanks for what we had. And our thanks were bone deep, built of the weariness and the love and sometimes the hate that went into that farm. For what I am about to receive, let me be truly thankful. But true thankfulness isn't just a recognition of the origin of your blessing. When we sat down to dinner, there was always one more piece. There were always guests at our table. What is yours is not yours unless you own it so well that you can give it away again. The final piece in claiming our blessings was simply to give them away. You cannot own what you cannot share. The Unitarian Universalist Service Committee helps us to own our blessings each year by inviting guests to our greater UU table. The UUSC is a non-sectarian, not-for-profit organization guided by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the seven Unitarian Universalist principles. Each year, they form partnerships with individuals and organizations that help to promote humanity and affirm the worth, dignity, and human rights of every person. Their yearly Guest at Your Table program is simple. We take home the guest boxes, even if we don't name them Bob, and we keep them out where we can see them, rather than, say, stuck in the hall closet. Each day when we eat, we put money in the box. How you actually do it is up to you. All collections are then returned to us and then to the UUSC, and they're used to help whoever the guests are this year. For the 2013-2014 year, the guests are pretty incredible. And I'm going to have some help up here at the pulpit to tell them. For any of you who want to visit these stories again, they can all be found at the UUSC website. These people and their organizations do incredible work. And the Guest at Your Table program is an easy way to ensure that that work continues. So John and Sarah, if you'd like to join me, they're going to tell us more about at least one of the guests at our table.
I don't think so.
Do
I ever need a mic?
No.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Boss Master, sir. I'm here for work.
Well, it's about time. Here's your paycheck. And you're late yet.
No, I'm 10 minutes early.
Well, you're almost late. And if you're any more almost later than you were today, I'm going to have to dock your pay again.
Hey, you only paid me for 27 hours, and I think I worked 35 last month.
Well, yeah, but that's right in your contract. You know, didn't you read? You cheeseheads just don't read. You know, we have this problem with all the cheeseheads. If you look right on page 173 of the contract, it said that if you work 35 hours in a week, you get paid for 27. If you want to be paid for 35 hours, you've got to work 45. That's on the next page. Okay? So, why don't you go home, read over your contract again? Or, if you know... You crazy cheeseheads. You know, I can always find another cheesehead to do this work if you don't like.
I'm just going to go talk to Nelson about this.
Nelson?
Yeah, Nelson Escobar.
You know Nelson Escobar?
Yes! Nelson Escobar has a long history of witnessing injustice. He came to the United States from El Salvador seeking asylum and hoping to find justice and dignity. He began working at a cleaning company in Arkansas, but he felt taken advantage of by his bosses. So he approached the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center to ask for help writing a letter in English demanding that he be treated fairly. The letter helped him, and Nelson stayed involved with the Justice Center. After spending time as a volunteer, he began working full-time to restore his community's dignity. You can read more about Nelson and the work he does in the pamphlet you'll get with your box or on the UUSD's website.
Thank you. The next guest at our table is George Friday. George is a woman at 14. A teacher in her class referred to her by a racial slur and told her that she would never do as well as the other children because she was black and because she was poor. It inspired her to stand up for herself and the other students, 14 years old. And she organized her classmates into a group who believed that nobody should make others feel bad. The teacher who belittled her was dismissed, and the school started to pay more attention. This is before the civil rights movement. She still made her voice heard. And it made her realize the power of people working together. She is now a national field organizer for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. And she works to help individuals and small groups create coalitions. People learn from each other. They share resources. They try to work to create a fairer world. They work with the UUSC to plan meetings of groups and leaders. And they're trying to teach more privileged groups to stand up for their partners. She's helped to start campaigns in over 30 cities across the U.S. She currently works with the Northwest Arkansas Workers' Justice Center to create relationships with other allies. They're working with workers' rights, civil rights. They're also working with other organizations like Omni Center for Peace and Justice. Right now, they're trying to protect the rights of Latino and workers from the Marshall Islands in their communities. They team up to say no to harmful policies, including a law that allows local police to stop and frisk anyone suspected without good reason. We are partnering with George Friday. We are having her at our table because she empowers people to stand up for themselves and for others. And you can read more about her on the website or as story 2 in your booklet. I'd like to ask Robert Ehler to join me up here. And he's going to tell us about the last two guests at our table this year.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Malia Villard Apollon is another guest at our table. Malia is co-founder of COFA Vive, the Commission Femme Victime pour Victime, which means the Commission of Women Victims for Victims in Haiti. COFA Vive has worked for many years to help Haitian women and children who were victims of gender-based violence. Gender-based violence was a problem in Haiti before the January 2010 earthquake, but with thousands of homes destroyed in the earthquake and hundreds of thousands homeless, and living in tent camps without lighting, security, or privacy, violence against women increased. Although COFA Vive's clinic was destroyed in the earthquake, Maya, herself a victim of violence against women, and her colleagues, with assistance from UUSC, continue their work. They provide immediate medical care to victims. They offer someone to go to the hospital with a victim, information on how to avoid infection and stay healthy, counseling and self-care education, and legal assistance. Although few cases result in convictions in Haiti, bribery and threats are often part of the process of the legal system. Victims often have their belongings stolen or destroyed, and COFAVIV can offer financial support and training in marketable skills to help women create sewing pieces and be able to sell their work. And they also offer programs for children and teenagers. Malia and her colleagues work to prevent future violence by training women to provide security in the tent camps, distributing whistles, building separate showers and toilets for women, and asking for more police patrols and lighting. Most importantly, they affirm the inherent worth and dignity of women and teach them how their combined voices, speaking out, can build a community free of violence. Danielle Noose is another guest at our table. Danielle experienced the difference that community organizing and farming can make as a child. Her mother worked as a community animator, which is someone who works with communities to bring about change in Haiti, and her grandfather, who is a farmer. You may have heard me talk about my work with USC partner MPP in Haiti, the Papaye Peasant Movement. MPP works across Haiti to educate farmers in sustainable and ecological farming methods. When Danielle learned about MPP and took one of their training classes, she met three other young people who shared her vision of a Haiti where people had access to fresh food and worked together to grow it. One of the methods MPP teaches is growing vegetables in containers made of worn-out tires. Danielle and her friends saw how these tire gardens could work in the capital city of Port-au-Prince, where over 1 million people live. Port-au-Prince is about half the size of the city of Waukesha, but Waukesha has about 70,000. So you can imagine 1 million people in an area half that size. Roads and transportation in Haiti are poor, and transportation is difficult. It's hard to get crops from the countryside into the city. Danielle and her friends decided to teach families in Port-au-Prince how to make these tire gardens and grow fresh food for themselves. They named themselves Guiad, which means Bright Educators of Delmas, which is the neighborhood in Port-au-Prince where they started working. With help from UUSC and MPP, they trained 60 families to make tire gardens and grow cabbages, eggplants, spinach, and other foods they could eat and also sell to others. These families then go on to teach others, so the community is learning from each other and benefiting from their work together. The Guiad motto is, "We are all one, we remain one, and we will die one." When I met Danielle and her co-founders, Emmanuel, Birna, and Adeline in March, they were searching for a location for a training center and a place to create compost and distribute compost around the city to the families they were teaching. This energetic young woman and her friends envision a youth program that trains teachers that will work with hundreds of more families, spreading good food, good health, and community building throughout the city. If you'd like to know more about UUSC's work in Haiti and elsewhere, talk to me sometime.
So as Thanksgiving approaches this year, ask yourself, who will be the guests at my table, real and metaphorical? What blessings will I be thankful for, not just today, but every day going forward? And most importantly, how will I work to understand that my giving is a gift to myself? Each of us is blessed in his or her own way. Some of our blessings are earned through hard work or deep thought. Some are ours by birth, a function of cultural privilege, whether we want them or not. But you cannot be truly thankful for what you have if it's not yours, and it's not yours if you cannot share it. Invite someone to your table, not just for the holiday, and let us give thanks. Adopt or foster a child, bring a shelter animal home. Reach out and let us give thanks. Teach a free community class, volunteer to help with an urban cleanup, and let us give thanks. Every day as you receive, let us give thanks, and may your life be a prayer. For what I am about to receive, let me be truly thankful. Amen. Thank you.
we extinguish the flame of this chalice. May we carry its light inside as we both give and receive. I'm about to ask you to rise for the final hymn, but first, our procedure today will be a little different than what we normally have. So when you are asked to do so, rise for the hymn, remain standing for the benediction, but then take your seat again when the benediction is through. We need everyone to remain in place for a very brief meeting and a quick members' vote before we release everyone together for today's lovely Thanksgiving dinner. So, you rise, we sing. Benediction, sit. Vote, food. All right, the hymn is number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table.
Can we sing it now?
Into the world together, knowing that we are both the blessed and those who bless. May we give thanks this week and every week in a world of support and love and joy. Peace, and may it be so. And now you get to sit down.
As President of the Board of Trustees of the LCUUC, I am hereby calling this congregational meeting to order. Do we have a quorum? 77, yes, we have a quorum, so we can take a vote. I'm going to ask Barbara Howell, our treasurer, to come up and present the issue to be voted on, explain what needs to be explained, and we can have discussion briefly then at that point.
Okay. We're here to vote on the new mortgage terms. Our mortgage is due the end of this month, right, John? Okay. So we've been offered and approved for a 4.25% fixed 3-year term mortgage with 15-year amortization, which I don't know what that means. That's how good of a treasurer I am. I don't know what the amortization part means. I just know in 3 years we've got to do this all over again, so I don't know why they put the 15-year on, which will result in a monthly payment of $3,372, thereabouts. It actually depends on the actual closing day, time, and hour. This is about $330 less per month than what we're paying currently. And a big thank you to John Stout, who worked with Natalie at the Waukesha State Bank to get this for us. So... If you have any questions, I will do my best to answer them, but just so you all know, we don't have much of an option on this. And it's a better deal than we have right now. And I do know we need a motion on the floor for this as well. So, yes, the man in the back.
So moved.
Oh, are you making a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that I can accept that. I'm no longer
Greg Volley made the motion to approve the mortgage as explained by Barbara. Do I hear a second? Beth? We'll take Beth Pesky as a second. Is someone writing this down, by the way? Thank you, Jerry. All right.
Do we have a discussion now, or did we already?
We can have a discussion when the motion's there.
Well, the motion is on the table now. Did you want to ask something, Lynn?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, speak up.
No? What do we have left on our mortgage?
I did not bring that information with me, but a lot.
It's
John?
It's a little under $450,000. Right now. That's versus when we bought the church, we took out a mortgage of $540,000. And the plan is with the 15-year amortization, they redo the interest rate every 3 years, but in 15 years the building would be paid off.
That's what that means.
Anybody else? Okay, let me remind you that only members can vote. So I assume since we have no more discussion and the motion is on the table, all in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, please say nay. The vote passed, the motion passed unanimously. Thank you very much. Now I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Al moved and seconded by,
Beth.
No. Oh, Beth? No, moved again? Sorry. No. I'm sorry. Okay, Chris. Chris said. Okay. Sorry. Did you get somebody seconding there, Jerry? Okay, thank you very much. All in favor of adjourning the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. All right. Pass it.
All right, if you could all join me for just a second, and then we're going to sing grace before we go out to the meal. Just a moment of the spirit of prayer, spirit of life. May we ever grow as a community and as Church of Seekers. We give thanks for what we have received and what we have been blessed to give this year. Peace and amen. You have the words to our sung grace in the order service. The music is wrong. The music is Old Hundred. So if you just listen to what Christy's playing, we'll have this, but the words are in your order of service. You want to stand? And we can go ahead and stand. Like to line up for dinner. Enjoy your meal. Well, not that way. To the left, to my left, folks.